When we study the doctrine of God, we do not study God. But what we do is we ponder and we meditate upon what God has revealed to us about himself in the scriptures. His thoughts and ways are as high above us as the heavens are above the earth, says Isaiah. There is no searching of the understanding of God. It must be revealed to us. God is more distant than the furthest galaxy. He is higher than the expanse of space. He is more more complicated than all our knowledge. And yet, on a morning like this, when his chosen people gather for his worship as he has commanded, the God who is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth is here. He dwells in his temple by the Spirit. He dwells in his church, the hearts of the redeemed. And the thing about it is this: he desires, God desires, that we would know more of him. That's something. He desires that. And what we are here this morning to learn about the Lord is this: God is good. God is good. 4 points, two of them we'll look at this morning. What is the goodness of God? And secondly, how do we see his goodness? God is good. What is the goodness of God is my first point. What does it mean in Psalm 107 and verse 1 where it says, he is good? You note in the verse 1 where it says, he is good, the words he is are in italics in your Bible, if it's a King James, which it is. That means that those words in italics are not in the Hebrew language, but they're rightly put there to make sense in English as to sentence structure. But it says, give unto the Lord, and the Lord, the word Lord's all capitals, Jehovah, the self-existent God, give unto the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord, for Lord and good. Just follow on. Good follows immediately on. Jehovah and good are synonymous. God is good. The word good, what a word to translate. I remember when I first studied this, my wife saying, I didn't know the word good, saying God is good, meant so much. The Hebrew word for good means this. Let me read it to you. Because sometimes we take the word good, don't we, and we say, well, that was good, that was... And we use it lightly. But the word good in Hebrew means this: good, pleasant, agreeable, excellent, fair, prosperous, precious, fine, beautiful, favor, and glad. All that in the little word good. Brackel says, goodness is the very opposite of harshness, cruelty, gruffness, severity, and mercilessness. End of quote. Good is the opposite, in other words, of bad. Positively, Brackel says, good is loveliness, benign character, sweetness, friendliness, kindness, and generosity in God. Goodness is the very essence of God's being, he says, even if there were no creature to whom that goodness could be revealed. He would still be good. The Puritan Thomas Vinson says, the goodness of God is one of his essential properties, whereby he is altogether good in himself, and he is the author of all good. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Now, because God is good, he is patient, he is merciful, and he is loving. Because he is good, he does good. His patience with sinners is a consequence of his goodness. His mercy towards sinners is a consequence of his goodness. His love for sinners is a consequence of his inherent goodness. That love, that agape love, that action love, that self-sacrificing love of God that is epitomized in the nailing of his Son to the cross for sinners. Why did he do that? Why did he manifest his love towards us in this way? The answer is because he is good. He is merciful because he's good. He's patient because he's good. He's loving because he's good. His goodness is the fountain of his merciful acts towards men. That's John Owen. The goodness of God is the cause, the source of any action of God towards us. Does God love us? Yes, he does. Why does he love us? Because he is good. If God does anything for us, it is not because we deserve it, but it's because he is good. Why am I saying this and defining it so? I am saying this because you will notice in the shorter catechism on the answer to, in the answer to the question, what is God? That the characteristics or attributes of God that are mentioned do not include God's patience, grace, mercy, or love as separate attributes of God. That is because the Puritans and the Reformers subsumed or included all of those attributes, patience, mercy, love, and so on, all under the goodness of God. They saw very plainly that God is holy, and therefore, because God is holy, derived from that, he is therefore good. It flows on quite naturally. And then, flowing from God's goodness, flow his mercy and his patience and his love. Or if you prefer it in this way, his goodness is the reason why he is loving, patient, and forgiving. Because love, God's characteristic of love, is a good thing, isn't it? His patience is good. His forgiveness is good. Goodness The goodness of God is the motor or the engine that drives his love and his mercy and his patience and his forgiveness. All of these things point back to say, God is good. He is good. However, and here's why I'm mentioning all of this, and it's important that I do. Robert L. Raymond is, in his marvelous book, it is a marvelous book on the answer to the fourth question of the Shorter Catechism, but he is one of the ones I read on this, along with Stephen Charnock and all the Puritans. But R.L. Raymond does not like this order that the Puritans give the attributes of God. He doesn't like the idea that love is subsumed or exists within God's goodness, and God's patience is within his goodness, and God's mercy is subsumed in God's goodness. Robert L. Raymond says this, and I'm reading it to you, and I'm doing this for a reason. He says, "My brothers and sisters, such handling of the divine attribute of love," he's talking about, "in my opinion, does not do justice to the New Testament's emphasis on God is love, because love is the very essence of God's nature, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Love is the fountain from which flows all the gracious redemptive activity, according to John 3:16. And he says, love is the supreme message of Calvary. He says in 1 John 4, verses 8 to 10, God's love is God's very essence is love, quote. And he does not go on to say this is how, does he not go on to say this is how the love of God was manifested? He sent his Son into the world that we should live through him, and on he goes. Twice he says in these three verses, in 1 John, the Apostle John singles out God sending his Son first into the world, then to Calvary, as a revelation or expression of his love for Christians. So he finishes saying this, "So in my opinion, our Reformed tradition's dogmatic pronouncements that God's love and mercy are all subsumed in his goodness, the Reformed tradition's dogmatic pronouncements have been guilty of heresy by disproportion when they subsume God's patience, long-suffering, and redeeming love under his goodness, and they fail to mention these attributes as definitions of what God is." End of quote. Let me be gracious and put this nicely about Robert L. Raymond. I believe he is very wrong in saying that. Very wrong. I also believe that he has, in this area, fallen foul of the modern phenomena of making God's love his central attribute. He calls God's love, and I re-quote again exactly what he has said, the very essence of his nature, the fountain from which flows all grace and actuality, the supreme message of Calvary, and God's very essence is love, according, he says, according to 1 John. Let me take those things apart. Love is God's nature and essence, on the basis of 1 John. That is wrong. There is nothing in the Greek language in 1 John to warrant saying that at all. There's no special emphasis. It says in the Bible, in the same way many more times, God is holy, God is just, God is good. Look at how many times it says God is good in Psalm 107 alone. More times than what it says God is love in 1 John. There is nothing in the text of 1 John to warrant anyone making the statement that God's nature and essence is love. Love. Logically, it does not make sense to say God's love is his central attribute, his essence, because whatever you put as central as God's essence, all his other attributes must flow out of it to be sensible and logic and rational at all. So flowing from it, his central attribute causes all the other attributes. Now, if you put love in the middle, does forgiveness flow from love? It does. If love is in the middle, does goodness flow from love? If love's in the middle, does justice and righteousness flow from love? If love is in the center, does wrath and punishment and hell flow from love? Most certainly not. But if holiness is in the middle, does forgiveness flow from holiness? Yes. Does goodness flow from holiness? Yes. And from goodness comes justice. From holiness comes wrath and the punishment and of sin and all of those things from holiness. Holiness is God's moral essence and all other attributes flow from that. Now that's what all the Puritans and the Reformers say, unlike Dr. Raymond. David Wells, by the way, in his books, warns of this type of attitude towards the love of God. That God's love is his central attribute, David Wells says, was virtually not even a doctrine until the 1980s and 90s. No one ever said that the essence of God was love before that, says David Wells. So in other words, saying that the central attribute of God is love is a modern heresy. It is a very modern heresy. The proper way to look at it is the Puritan way. God's love, his agape love, his self-sacrificial action love. It is God's love that sent his Son in an action, yes, to the cross. But why did he do that? Why did he do that? He did it because he loves us. But why does he love us? Because he's good. Not because we are lovely, sure it's not. He loved us because he's good. It says in Psalm 119, let me read it, verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Why does God do good? Why does he forgive people? Why does he show mercy to sinners? Why does he love his people? He does good because he is good. His goodness is the motor, the drive for all the good actions. When God loves us, it's a revelation of his goodness. When God shows mercy to us, it reveals that he's good. It's not the other way around. He is good on the basis of he loves us. And therefore, because he loves us, that makes him good. That would be to make God subject to loving us. No, we are not lovely, yet he loves us. Therefore, he is good. He is good. Therefore, he does good. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Why does God's mercy endure forever? Why are we to be thankful to him? For he is good. It is God's goodness that drives his enduring mercy. Psalm 86, verses 4 and 5. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Why does the psalmist lift up his soul to God? Why is God ready to forgive? Why is God plenteous in mercy? For that thou, Lord, art good. It's obvious all over the Bible. He shows mercy. He's ready to forgive because he's good. The goodness is the attribute. The others are just applications of it. He shows mercy. He shows love. He is forgiving because he is good. Good is the main attribute here. So therefore his actions are definitely subsumed in his goodness. His good actions flow from his goodness. Listen to John Owen. God's goodness is the immediate fountain of all his communications of good unto others. So simple. So I could say of R.L. Raymond, not that, as he has said, that the reformers and all that are guilty of heresy, but I could actually say that he is guilty of heresy by disproportion of the attributes of God himself. By mixing up God's love. In the foundation, in place of God's goodness. He's got it the wrong way around. Love is a part of God's goodness towards us. Patience is a part of God's goodness towards us. Forgiveness, mercy is a part of God's goodness towards us. God does all these things towards human beings that don't deserve them because he's good. God is good infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably. Secondly and briefly, God's goodness is seen where? God's goodness is seen in God doing good to all. God's goodness is seen, just to be brief, in his predestination, isn't it? Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He foreloved us, and that caused him to elect us. He foreloved his people, so he chose to forgive them. And there's only one way you can get beyond that. You have to ask the question, but why did he forelove you and I? And the only answer can be, because he is good. Because of his goodness. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me flick over to Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he chose us in love, verse 4, yes. How? According to the good pleasure of his will. He chose us in love because his will is good. God's pure goodness is seen in his predestination. His patience. We see God's goodness in his patience. Even though we sin and sin infuriates God, yet he sends his Son to die in our place so that we would be forgiven of our sin. That is goodness, isn't it? It's nothing but goodness. Now let me draw to a conclusion. The next time here we'll be doing more application. But let me draw to a conclusion. I've given you 2 points. What is God's goodness? He is pleasant. He's agreeable. He's excellent. He's fair, precious, fine, beautiful. His goodness causes all of his good actions towards men and women and boys and girls. Where is his goodness seen? It's seen in many places. It's seen in his predestination. He predestinated us because he loved us. Why did he love us? He loved us because he's good. It's seen in his patience. It's seen in his forgiveness and many other things. But listen, I have told you what the Hebrew word good means, haven't I? Do you know what the verb for the word goodness is in Hebrew? I've given you the noun. You know what the verb is? The verb is hesed. Mercy, loving kindness, covenant loved. Covenant love placed upon his people because he is good. His goodness. The verb for his goodness is his covenant love. The action. God is good. What is his goodness in action? His goodness, the verb, is his covenant love and mercy towards his people. I've already read from Psalm 107. And I've just drawn out a few of the parts, the words of his goodness from there. But let me ask this question as I close, right from the text of Psalm 107. Why does he show mercy forever, according to verse 1? For he is good. Why does he free his people from the hand of the enemy? Verse 2. Why does he gather his people from north, south, east, and west? Verse 3. Why does he deliver them from their distresses? Verse 6. Why does he lead them and guide them? Verse 7. Why does he give them a place to live? Verse 7. Why did God do all these things for his people? It tells us in verse 1, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. It tells us 5 times he does all these things for us, for he is good. He is good. And everything that he does for us flows from him. So, thank you for your attention, brethren. We will continue next time with more application, God willing, on the goodness of God. Thank you.